Please be seated. Father God, we lift up our young people and our children who we know are so special to you, so deeply loved by you. We thank you that you have a compassionate care for each one of them, that you know them by name. And Father, we pray you bless them now and bless those who will lead them as well. May they have fun, Lord, get to know each other better, but get to know you, the King of Kings, better. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great time, everyone. We're in the Robert Lloyd room today as a one-off. I'm going to use a little bit of liturgy today so you can read off the screen when it comes to the part in yellow. And I'm going to give you a time of silence as well for your own quiet confession. Brothers and sisters, as we prepare to celebrate, let us call to mind our sins. And will you pray with me, as in on the screen? Lord our God, in our sin we have avoided your call. Our love for you is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Have mercy on us. Deliver us from judgment. Bind up our wounds and revive us. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon and forgiveness of all your sins, time for amendment of life, and the grace and strength of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've repented. Let's declare our faith now in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised alive on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received and this we believe. Amen. We're going to have a time of worship now, and at the end of the worship, we're going to wait on the Lord for 2 or 3 minutes just to give the Lord permission to do whatever he wants to do. So would you please stand? Please stand or sit as whatever you're comfortable with, and I'll pray. Lord, we believe, we know you are present now. And Father, I pray that you bless the people of this community, this church, in whatever way you know they need. I pray you minister in these 2-3 minutes, Lord Jesus Christ, for your glory and for the wants of your beloved brothers and sisters. Amen.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Let us bathe in the light of his glory as we worship.
Amen.
You have all my failures, Lord, and you have my victories. I imagine my failures way more heavy. Lord, you've got me when I'm falling short. Amen.
Thank you, everyone. Alan's got a word he'd like to share.
Yeah, some of you may have seen that the volcano in Iceland has erupted again just late last night. It's the fourth time in 3 months. And the picture that it brought to me is that perhaps for someone here, they've got something bubbling up inside them. They're not sure what it is. And I would suggest it's probably the Holy Spirit. And each time it happens, you're dampening down, thinking, no, I'm not sure about that. And I think what the picture is saying is an encouragement to let it erupt. To let it erupt inside you. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. And so it will come out as the gifts that God wants to give you become apparent. So be encouraged with that.
Thank you, Alan. Does anybody else want to share a word? Or Jane, do you want to come here?
Following on from what John said, Jesus is standing in the midst of us and he's clothed in glory and it's brilliant white. And we sit in front of him, clothed in dirty rags. But he then clothes us in the same brilliance that he is showing himself. And that is his work of salvation. Amen.
Amen.
I was wondering whether to share this little picture or not, but then hearing your words, Jane, it's so similar. So I had a little picture of Jesus clothed in brilliant white, waist high in a river, and the water of the river was flowing towards him, dirty and murky and brown. But as it hit him and moved from him, it became pure and clear and bubbly and bright. So an easy image to decode, but a nice one.
Thank you for what you shared, everybody. I'm going to share something that happened to me many years ago, but it kind of resonates so much with what Jane just said. Many years ago, I had a picture or vision, and in this vision, Jesus was dressed in white, and I was in oily rags representing my sin. And I can remember looking at Jesus in that vision, feeling so ashamed of myself. And then Jesus came forward in these perfectly white robes and he gave me a hug. I'm like, why are you hugging me? And then I looked at Jesus afterwards and they were still pure white robes. And then I looked at myself and now I was in pure white robes. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for what he's done for us. Amen. Anyone else? In which case, oh, Sue.
Thank you. As we were waiting on God, I just had a sense of Jesus saying, when I look at you, I don't see what the world sees. I see my beloved child, a child that I love. And that's for each of us, each one of us, that's what he sees.
Thank you, Sue. That touched on something else I was thinking about in the quiet time. You know, each one of us is enough in the sense that as you are deeply, deeply loved. You don't have to change. You don't have to look different or be different. You are, as you sit here today, so, so precious to Jesus Christ. Loved and accepted as you are. It's beautiful, isn't it? A beloved son or daughter with an unconditional love for you. Shall we have our reading?
The reading is from John chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. And the heading is, Jesus predicts his death. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless an ear of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Absolutely. I thought I'd move forward out of the sun. You don't want to see a halo off, have the reflection off the top of my head. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask that this morning we come with open hearts and open ears to receive from you. May the Holy Spirit inspire my words and make them yours. Amen. The number 42. What does that mean to you? Oh, Alan says it's his age. Maybe. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, yes. So for those who aren't the sci-fi aficionados amongst you, 42 is the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe and everything, as set out by Douglas Adams in his book, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Now, in that book, it was calculated over a period of 7.5 million years by a computer called Deep Thought. Now, for me, I just multiply 6 by 7. I think that seems fine. But the problem is, we never actually know at that point what the question is. In the book, it takes several more million years for that to be worked out. And then the question doesn't actually result in 42 being the answer. So you know, in fact, you're left even more confused. But it's still a good book. Well, today, I'm hopefully going to pose a question and also provide an answer. What is the secret to life? Straightforward, you might think, but I'll try and cover it in just a few minutes. You may not have thought of this as the secret to life, but as I talk, you'll realise that it's something you've seen and experienced over and over. It's a secret hidden in plain sight, but yet it's something that we can easily miss as we often seek to turn away from it or close our eyes to it. In John 12, verse 24, it says this: "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." There you have it. The secret to life. But I'm not going to sit down. So I think I want to just probably expand a little bit more on that. And perhaps we wonder whether this pattern is present in our own lives. Well, I would suggest that if we've ever fallen in love and committed our life to another, then we have had to let parts of our old life go. Something of our single life dies so that we could be with that other person. Now, we have some parents here. And if you're a parent, you will know that there are sacrifices of yourself and your life to be made in order for the new life of the child to emerge and grow. And we are often called to give up parts of ourselves for the other. Parents are, however reluctantly, continually letting go of their child so she or he can grow up. What are the costs, the losses that you've paid for your education or for your career? I'm certain you will have chosen certain losses and let go of something so that other things could grow. But for every choice we make, every yes we say, there is at least one no and probably many more. We see this same pattern in nature, in the changing of the seasons, falling leaves and new blooms, the setting and rising of the sun. Just the other day, we looked out at our magnolia tree in the morning and the buds were just beginning to come out. By the evening, they had blossomed. Just the miracle of new growth. As we read our Bibles, we'll also see stories of loss and renewal. The innocence in Adam and Eve died so that consciousness might be born. Abraham left his country so that he might be made a great nation, renamed Abraham and be a blessing to all of the families of the earth. Jacob lost his old identity and was wounded so that he could become a new man, Israel, with a new life. James and John left their father, their boats and nets to become disciples of Jesus and fishers of people. And Jesus taught his disciples, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands. They will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." The secret of life. A pattern of loss and renewal, dying and rising, letting go and getting back, leaving and return. It's at the core of our baptism, and it is in fact what we declare in the communion service when we say, "Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again." So is there something in your life that you need to let go of today? What might you need to leave behind? What needs to die so that something new can appear and grow? Our reading is set in the context of the Passover feast, the celebration of Israel's freedom from slavery in Egypt. That story again is about letting go, leaving behind and moving into a new life. In our reading, we hear that some Greeks come to Philip and say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Why was it they wanted to see Jesus? It doesn't tell us, but perhaps they'd heard that he'd turned water into wine. He'd healed the son of a royal official and a paralytic. He'd gone on to feed 5,000 plus with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Then he'd walked on water and given sight to the man born blind. And then he raises Lazarus from the dead. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus," they said. That Jesus of miracles. And is that the Jesus that we want to see? I would hope so. So Philip, in our gospel, in our reading, goes on to tell Andrew about the Greeks and their request. And then together, interestingly, went on together, having shared. They go on to tell Jesus. And what's Jesus' reply? Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. That's his response to those who want to see him. It talks about dying. And dying is about more than our physical death. Yes, it is that. But it's also more than that. I would suggest that we die in this way many times throughout our lifetime, whether it be the loss of a loved one, the end of a relationship, health issues, opportunities lost, dreams not fulfilled. All of these are deaths that we didn't want or ask for. At other times, we may choose our losses. We may give up part of ourselves for another. We may change what we believe and our values so that we can be more authentically ourselves. And sometimes, there are things we just need to let go of. Things we cling to that deny us the fullness of life that we want and God offers. It might be fear, anger or resentment, regret and disappointment, guilt, the need to be right, the need for approval. There are many of those things that resonate with me. When we are called to follow Jesus, to be Jesus' followers, it doesn't mean that we're called to hang back at a distance. We're called to follow Jesus closely, getting close enough so that we know him so well, that we know the truth that he is. It's being that grain of wheat that falls into the ground and dies to bear much fruit. The letting go, the emptying, the leaving behind, and the dying, which makes space for new life. For most of us, I'm sure there'll probably be at least one time in our life when we look back on it and say, I never want to go through that again, but I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. What is that time for you? What happened? Because as difficult or painful as that experience was, I'm sure it will have borne fruit. You were changed. Your life was renewed. It was one of those times when the grain of wheat fell into the earth and died. But I'd also suggest it was one of those times when you found you were even closer to Jesus. When you experienced the holy, when you were absolutely convinced that God was present and working in your life. I've had those times too. And the one that immediately sprung to mind when I was writing this was when I lost my job in Sheffield. As a family and personally, we went through a difficult time. But ultimately, we knew that God was present in what happened. It finished up directing us here. Now, whether that's a blessing to you or not, that's a different subject for a different day. But I can say my life has been reshaped and reformed in such good and positive ways because of that. What about you? Have you got a grain of wheat that needs to fall into the earth and die? Letting go does not mean rejection or walking away. It's what allows us to be more authentically present to ourselves and one another. It makes room for new life and new ways of being present. Our letting go gives God something with which to work. Why would we continue to cling to live as an isolated, self-enclosed, single grain of wheat if that's God's plan for us? What is the grain of wheat in your life today that needs to fall into the earth and die? What are the things that if you lost them, you're sure you would die? Well, maybe those are the places waiting to bear much fruit in our lives. Maybe that's where we'll see Jesus and the Holy Spirit at work. As we approach Easter, this secret pattern of loss and renewal is something that will happen every day throughout Holy Week. A Holy Week that ends at Easter Sunday with the empty tomb, the dawn of a new day, the renewal of life, when that single grain becomes the bread of life. But we also need to remember that when you plant a seed, if you go back in 10 minutes or the next day, you may not see a new sprout. Growth can often be slow. The fruit of new life can take time, and usually longer than we want it to be. Yet, even when unseen, unbelieved, or unrecognized, the power and life of God is present and at work in the depths of our lives, in the dark and hidden places. That is the mystery of life. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So let us let go of all that stops us being fruitful this Lent. And may we look forward to new life through the death and resurrection of our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, this Easter. Amen.
So during our next song, a collection will be taken for the work of the church. Would you please stand?
Exalted.
thank you for all your gifts. Help us sustain the life of this church. And Lord, we pray you bless these gifts. May they be used wisely for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Would you please sit for our prayers?
Let us pray for the church and the world, and let us thank God for his goodness. Lord, we pray for the worldwide Christian church, Christ's body on earth in all its wonderful diversity. We pray especially for those churches who meet in difficult and dangerous circumstances. May be aware of your presence to uphold their courage and strengthen their faith. In a moment of silence, please ask God to show each one of us the part that he wants us to play in our church life. Thank you.
Steve Record, for Glenda Handfield, for Sally, David Riley, Pat Baldry, Trixie and Malcolm, Jane and Alvin, Jean Waite, for Julia, and the family and friends of Victoria, who sadly passed away. Almighty God, we ask you to draw close to all those that we've mentioned today. May they be aware of your healing presence. We ask you to provide your peace and comfort today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we thank you that our journey towards death is not the final sentence in our life story. We thank you that by your faithfulness we are born to a new and living hope in a future where love and life will never end. May we always trust in you as we pray for those who have departed this earthly life. Comfort all who are mourning the loss of loved ones, or whose anniversary falls at this time of someone that has passed away. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, as we go forth from this time of worship, help us to remember that you do so much more for us than we can ask or imagine. Hear our prayers for all your creation. Guide us all as we seek to serve you in the coming week. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Peter and Alan are going to assist me with communion. Please, Alan. Pray. Father, we do thank you for Jesus Christ, that he chose the path of death for the fruit it would bear, for the fruit we have been seeing for 2,000 years with lives saved and lives given to Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that we are now counted amongst that number, that through Jesus Christ we too have life now and have it in all its fullness and will always have life for all eternity. We thank you that through Jesus Christ we have been forgiven every sin, past, present and future. We praise you, Father, that on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, he gave thanks and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks once more and he gave it to them all saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." So with this cup and this bread, we do remember that our Lord offered up his life for each one of us. And we pray now, Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit, that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of our precious Lord Jesus Christ. And so let us pray as we have been taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please make your way to communion.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for what we have received. And having received, Lord, we pray that you bless us to live well this week for you. Amen.
Amen.
Before we have our final song, we're going to have a wrap, apparently. Our children have prepared a wrap. I'm not sure what to expect, but I am excited. Bring on the wrap.
So Isaac's made a wrap in Quest, and it's about Paul's letters to the Galatians, about them following silly rules instead of Jesus' teachings.
Open the eyes of
Thank you.